Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. I hope you can hear me now, as told us sort of on mute last video. So this is about start stops. OK, so the nuclear arms limitation treaty has expired. Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, which dates way back to the Cold War, 1970s, I think, between the then Soviet Union, no longer extant, and the United States of America. And so they both agreed that they would reduce their nuclear arsenals because they both had enough to destroy planet Earth several times over. And it was getting ludicrous, the amount of money they were spending on it. So why would you have more than you need? So they already got to mutually assured destruction, as in MAD. One country launches the nukes and they're taken off. But before they can even land in the other country, their target country is also launched. So these ones hit, they blow up whatever country. But minutes later, the nukes from the other side blow up the country that launched first. So you couldn't gain an advantage by starting this sort of unprovoked nuclear war or first strike or whatever. So it would be guaranteed that you'd be wiped out minutes after you wiped out the other country. But wait a second. So you got your nuclear weapons on the ground. So they might be launched from land. You know, they might be launched from planes. They might be launched from submarines. But what if the other side, before they launch, decides to destroy your nuclear missiles on the ground? They can't be launched from ground launchers. They can't be the planes that are meant to fly and launch them from the air, but those are destroyed on the ground, something like that. Or there are other possibilities, or the submarines. So you have so many of them that that's just not viable. The enemy country tries to destroy your nuclear arsenal on the ground, and they start destroying it, and that's your signal, we better launch now before they destroy even more. And there's just no way the enemy country could destroy all of your nuclear arsenal, even half of it, before you had a chance to launch. So just going further and further and further. But like security, my paradigm is always how many locks do you put in your door, right? You put one lock in your door. Okay, that's great. You've got some security. But a thief could pick that lock. So put two locks in the door. Now, so you've got greater security, but that costs you more. And it's more inconvenient to unlock every time. So, but the thief could still pick through two locks. Why do you have three locks in the door? It enhances your security, but it costs more and it's more time consuming, inconvenient to undo three locks. But then what if the thief gets through three locks? Should we go for four locks? Da, da, da. And each time you're increasing your security, but you're also increasing your cost and inconvenience. Well, the nuclear weapons, they're increasing their nuclear security because it's very, very hard to take out the nuclear weapons. You know, the enemy, we've got twice as much as you need to blow up the world. Three times, four times. When do you stop? It just gets so ruinously expensive. And it's taking away from conventional forces, which will be used. Nukes, ideally, will never be used. And indeed, in over 80 years, they haven't been used. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the last time. So both sides, they say, this is getting crazy. Let's not bankrupt ourselves. Obviously, in the United States, with stagflation, the 70s, after the oil crisis, after defeat in Vietnam, they're particularly keen to do this, a bit of a detente in that period in the Cold War. So that was signed, but it's all gone wrong. Now, President Barack Obama, he signed a new one with the then Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, New START, and that was going to lower the number of these deployed strategic nuclear warheads and the delivery systems, whether they're from planes or ground launchers or submarines. Is to do about intercontinental ballistic missiles. I don't know what the range is before they count as an ICBM. And to submarine launch ballistic missiles, that's the SLBMs, some launch from bombers and so on. So each side was going to have no more than 1,550 nuclear warheads and was going to have no more than 700 delivery systems, which could be a submarine capable of launching them or a plane or indeed a ground launcher. And both sides would have a chance to go over and inspect to ensure that the other side was abiding by the terms of the treaty. Now, that was due to expire in 2021 during coronavirus, and both sides agreed to prolong it for a further 5 years. That was in Joe Biden's term of office. It was just, you know, 2 weeks after Biden was inaugurated. But then that ran out yesterday, and it doesn't look like it's going to be extended. So they're now no laws limiting the size of the nuclear arsenal. So is that worrying? They could increase them, because we know that the Russian military is a basket case. This war has lasted longer for the Second World War for them, and they've only gone forward about 150 kilometers at their deepest point of penetration, and they're going forward at something like 80 meters a day on average, and this is slower than the First World War. And despite having such a huge advantage of the Ukrainians, like 3-1 on the battlefield, but in terms of tanks, 10-1, planes, 10-1, howitzers, 10-1, admittedly, not all of that's deployed in Ukraine, partly for logistical reasons. Moreover, they've got other frontiers to think about. But despite their major numerical advantage, they haven't won, and they had sort of had a technological advantage. Now the edge is being knocked off that by a more Western kit. The Ukrainians are getting sometimes the Ukrainians are getting a technological advantage. And economically outnumbering Ukraine 10-1. Okay, Ukraine's got a lot of money from Western countries, which has helped them. But even when they've got these huge advantages, they haven't been able to win a conventional war. Conventional wars, you think the bigger conventional military will win. Now, asymmetric warfare, like in Afghanistan or Vietnam, that's different. Even if you have state-of-the-art military technology, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to defeat your foe, because your advantages are negated by the terrain and by the fact that it's hit and run, that there aren't these front lines. It's not a pitch battle, where here it really is. But the one way that Russia does have parity with the United States is nuclear weapons. Well, there are even more nuclear warheads than the United States. It's thought they cheated on this, like they cheat on everything, but not too much, because it's just too expensive even for them. Are those nuclear warheads even in a usable condition? Because it costs quite a lot of money to maintain them, and they've cut corners on loads of things, which is why at the beginning, some of their planes wouldn't fly, the tanks wouldn't start, or the troops were issued with rations which expired several years earlier. The winter tires have been replaced by summer tires in the winter. There wasn't enough fuel. There's a lot of defalcation. A lot of their resources were stolen and sold on the black market and stuff like that. So, but even one nuclear warhead would take out a metropolis. There's so many megatons. They're much more potent than that, what hit Hiroshima or Nagasaki. So, would they be able to shoot them down? I remember a British military man telling that for the nuclear missile to get from the very west of Russia to London was 10 minutes. And that's years ago, might be faster now. The thing about NATO is to deploy them on NATO territory as close to Russia as possible, somewhere like Lithuania, And so it could go from there to Moscow, like in about 2 minutes. It could go from there to St. Petersburg in about 20 seconds. The point is, there's just no way you can shoot it down. They launch. And by the time that you realize it's been launched, it's landed and destroyed you. And the countermeasures, if it's going to take 10 minutes to reach your country, you can fire whatever, several missiles to take it down. And you miss the first time, miss the second time, miss the third time, fourth time, hit it. That's it. You've got a few chances. But when it's very, very close to the metropolis, there are no second chances. That would really be worrying for them. I know you can have submarines everywhere and stuff like that, but they can be detected, and planes take some time to take off. Ground launchers don't. So there isn't even talk about getting this start back on the road. I mean, they might sign something new, but the Russians might try and tack it onto the Ukraine deal. We will sign a START renewal if you abandon Ukraine, and Trump might even go for that deal. So it's probably quite cunning them to abandon this, to raise the temperature. When the war's going badly, they start rattling the nuclear saber, like, don't forget we've got nuclear weapons, blah, blah, blah. I'm surprised they haven't said that for a few weeks now. All right, thanks so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.